For that, please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, and we'll get started in just a minute. A couple of preachers were talking and sharing among one another the way that sometimes preachers do that they wouldn't with others, with, you know, the church. But I'm about to tell off on them. One was talking about a revival. He was invited to go preach out of town for a week-long service. And he preached the first night and all went well. And he got up the next morning and he went by himself into town. And he had noticed a really unique-looking cafe, and he just went to have breakfast by himself there, and he got his food and reached for the salt and pepper shakers. And man, they were these beautiful, very unique, pewter salt and pepper shakers. He really liked them. And he looked around at all the other tables, and, you know, they were spread throughout the whole restaurant, and he looked beside him at his little Bible bag he had, and he thought that salt and pepper shaker set would just fit right in his bag just fine. And who would notice, you know? I mean, they probably have 20 sets in the bag just ready to replace some that get broken or something. So he was thinking about just taking the set. And all of a sudden he came to his senses and he said, "I'm a Christian. I can't do that." And he went back to church that next night to, and the message was on temptation that he already had planned to preach. And what does he do? Well, I guess he breaks the rules like I do, if there are preacher rules. I tell my story sometimes. Well, he told his story. He said, and so he spoke in detail about the salt and pepper shakers, what they looked like and how much he liked them. He talked about the restaurant he went to. It was real unique. And he talked about where it's located and used that for his illustration of temptation. The next night, he shows up for the third night of revival and there's a package waiting for him. And he opens up that package and it's the pewter salt and pepper shakers. The owner of the restaurant had been attending the revival services and heard of it, be sure, and heard about it and brought those to him and presented them to him as a gift. Temptation. You know, we're all exposed to it. We're always going to be tempted while we're here. There's a way for us to overcome temptation. Not perfectly. As we get into this message, just let me say, we're going to give in to temptation again in this life. We're not going to be perfect. Hopefully it's not by design, but we're going to stumble and we're going to give in to temptation and it's going to lead to lust and it's going to lead to other things. However, it's not going to dominate the child of God in the will of God who might look at Jesus' plan here for us so that we might be able to have success and overcome temptation. And as I say that, maybe there are certain things that we think of when we think of the temptation to do what? You know, there's probably a top 10 answers, but there's a lot more answers. The beginning of that song that was our special that the family, Virtue family, just sang, I heard worry in the beginning of that song. And it wasn't condoning worry. Worry is not okay. We talked about that Wednesday night. There's a temptation to worry. So I just say that to say that we might all take very seriously this business of temptation that is going to go on for the rest of our lives. Someone said, I can resist everything but temptation. But we can. And Jesus teaches us how to here. Have you ever thought, here in Matthew 4, we're in the beginning, first 11 verses. Have you ever thought about Jesus being tempted here, why he was tempted at this time? The time that he was tempted, it was right after his baptism. And it was right before the rest of his life in this certain time of ministry of carrying out the greatest event that would change the entire world more than anything else ever would. I mean, this ministry was about to determine a hope that could be had for all eternity. Preparation for this ministry was a must. Jesus prepared himself. We look at this and we think about the devil coming to Jesus and tempting him. But how about before that? How about all of the preparation that Jesus was in before this? He got alone and he got apart with God. And he spent time with God. And he prayed. And he meditated on the Word of God. And he thought about the plans that God had for him. And his dependence as God the Son upon God the Father to carry out those plans. He was so fixed and so focused on this that he simply did without for 40 days. Because there was something more important than this, the necessities of life. For him. And that was God the Son seeking God the Father for everything he needed, for the most important event the world would ever know that was going to be carried out over the next few years. He prayed, he meditated, he planned, he bore the weight of the pressure before him, and he had to deal with temptation. Satan sure knows how to tempt us. We'll see through this message. We'll see through these passages. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. You know, all three of those temptations, they involve our senses. And they involve this physical world that we're in. Real quick, three short things about this temptation, this time of tempting for Jesus. This tempting came right after a mountaintop experience of his baptism. Let's remember that for our own lives too. Another short thing about this is that Jesus was the only person there in his time of temptation. He was alone, and no one knew about it but him. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. God doesn't tempt us. God tests us, though. God tests his people. But why the test in the life of Jesus, as we're about to see here? How about this? How about for a reason of obedience to the Father? Because Jesus not only went to the cross to satisfy the justice of God by paying for our sins and dying on a cross, he satisfied the righteousness of God by the perfect life that he lived. By obedience to the Father, strength in controlling himself, The controlling of the mind, the controlling of the body, the controlling of the spirit of God the Son. Why this test for Jesus? How about for securing and manifesting that perfect righteousness? You know, Romans chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 11, says we shall be saved by His life, not just His death. And He manifested perfect righteousness. The sinless Son of God satisfied the righteous perfection of God the Father. And here's a display of it for us. How about this for a display? How about this for a reason for this to be upon Jesus? So God can show the human being the divine aid that He gives us when we are in times of temptation. Why does God allow us to be tempted? Why would God have a test for us? How about to prove our faith? How about for the proving and the demonstrating of true faith? I remember as a baby child in Christ, I didn't know what my faith was like. Someone talked about the faith they had to go through this or go through that. I knew I had faith, but I didn't know what my faith was like. I didn't know how much it had matured or anything like that. Why does God allow us to be tempted? To strengthen us for what comes in life by preparing us for greater responsibilities. Temptation is always going to be there. How about how it shows the mercy and grace of God in the human life? Because He helps us in time of temptation. He allows it, but He also helps us. We're going to see this morning how important it is for us to spend time alone with God. Because if we get in that moment of temptation and we're looking for something to kick in for us, we're probably going to fail and give in to that. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. As we mentioned, there's constant temptation going on. There must be constant preparation in our lives for the temptation that, count it, we know it's going to come our way. We can't prepare in temptation. We must prepare before temptation if we're going to overcome it. And let us just know this. Satan tempts anywhere, anytime, anyhow, to anyone. And it always goes on. Something else to just consider, because this is just very real. The more we serve God, the more we're going to be tempted. I heard that as a young child of God, and that kind of made me not want to get too much attention in my spiritual life. Maybe I better cool the jets on this new zeal I have for the Lord. I'm glad that wasn't my final answer. I'm glad the Lord helps our hearts. You know, the more we serve God, the more time we need to spend with God. We need to spend time with God to be able to serve God. But spend time with God because of the great temptation that is going to come our way. You know, if I could just interject a little thought this morning. That is, it's very dangerous for us to have a place to serve, have something we get to do for the Lord, and we just go through the motions of it maybe on Sunday or Wednesday, and the rest of the week has no time allowed with God, no time spent with God. It's very dangerous just to go through the motions because we're always being tempted. Even in the midst of our mature Christian life, as we mature, maybe you think about what you would call the most mature Christian you know. Let me tell you something I know about them. They're tempted, just like we are. We all continually are tempted. So we see this morning in the text we're about to read that Jesus spent time with God, led by the Spirit, relied on Scripture. And we see that the devil tried to get Jesus, let me say it this way, tried to get him to focus on self. Look with me in the first four verses. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, consider that preparation, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus hadn't eaten in quite a while. He was starving to death. You understand, this was severe hunger. And what did Satan tempt him to do? To act in divine power that he might have a meal for himself, that he might be able to have bread for himself. And for that matter, within the whispers of this, it was probably, you know, for the entire world, you could feed them and you would find favor with the whole world that way. This would have meant Christ would have to trust in himself. He would have to trust self and not God to have his needs met. What if he did that? What if he would have attempted that and attempted to feed the whole world? He was going to solve world hunger. He was tempted to. The problem is, man can't live on just physical food. If he would have provided bread, there would have been nothing spiritually for the people. If Jesus would have done this, he wouldn't have met the spiritual need of man. It would have sent a message that that's wrong. It would have sent a message that physical food is more important than spiritual food, and that is not right. Physical food doesn't satisfy the spiritual hunger. Thank God for spiritual hunger and a spiritual nourishment, a spiritual appetite. This is how Jesus was first tempted in the wilderness, and in some ways we're tempted the same way. Because this was the weakness of Jesus in this moment, you understand? He hungered, and Satan tempted him with bread. And you and I have weaknesses as well. Now my weakness may not be your weakness. And your weakness is not my weakness. Some people say, "I'm doing better than the preacher. He's weak in this area, and this area I'm strong in." We're all different in this. We have some similarities, but we're also different. There's that thing that will get us. And we may not even know what it is as clear as Satan will. He knows our weak points. He knows when, where, and with what to tempt you and I. What does he want us to do? What is he trying to get us to do? He's trying to get us to act in our own ability. He'd love that. We're no match for him. So he would love it if we tried to white knuckle it and do the best we can in our own determination not to fall into lust and to sin from the temptation that comes our way. You know what he's just fine with? If we meet a real need in the wrong way. Can you connect that by the bread and Jesus was hungry and the way Satan tried to get him to succumb to that? Meet a real need in the wrong way. We're tempted to do good in error. See, that the temptation, for it's really expanding. It really does include every one of us. What about doing something good with a bad motive? What if there's something good we could do, but we wouldn't do it unless everybody sees it and sees what we've done? Satan wants to get us to do something good in a bad way, doing something for self, to make self look good. Now, with all that, let me make a statement that I have written down that it took me a while to absorb. You'll probably get it quicker. It's not right to do wrong to do right. Feed. How about we have a food pantry? And we feed, but we never give out the gospel, the spiritual food. That's a rule. Let's understand that if we're going to feed with physical food, let us not deny to feed with spiritual food of the gospel. The bread of life is more important than a loaf of bread. Temptation. How did Jesus overcome temptation here? The Word of God. I've never preached a sermon from these verses. I've taught Sunday school several times from these verses. And I remember saying every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. By the Word of God, Jesus overcame temptation. We must strengthen our lives by feeding on the Word of God for many reasons. How about this? Because temptation is coming at you and I all the time. And this is the weapon that we might defend against it. Jesus was strengthened by Scripture, and He rejected the temptation by Scripture. It was His knowledge of the Word of God that brought light to the devil's intent. He was trying to get Jesus to act by himself, and he was trying to get Jesus to act for self. And he was trying to get Jesus to put on a show. Look at verses 5 through 7. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil tempted Jesus to make a show of his power. That, hey, if you step off the edge here, God's going to make sure you gently land. And even use Scripture. The devil used Scripture. And he just twists and tweaks things and brings it about in the wrong motive, just enough to deceive some. Some who are not prepared. Some who want help maybe in the temptation. Jesus was tempted to attract attention by a show of his own power. Inviting worship of Jesus right now because of the show that he would put on. Insinuating Jesus would be worshipped and accepted by the people as the Son of God. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? God tests us, but it's never to be the other way around. There's a lot of people who come up with their own idea within themselves, and then they hitch God to it, or they try to hitch God to it, and God doesn't know anything about it. Jesus would have been testing God if he would have fallen for this. We're not to test God, we're to trust him. We're not to create a situation and then try to get God to obligate to his word for us. We're to obey his word. We're to seek his will and obey his word. This offer to Jesus would have tested God to misuse his power. And somebody said Jesus would have probably busted his head wide open had he tried to test God. In the same way as Jesus, we are tempted to here as well. Jesus was tempted to take a promise out of God's word, out of context, have it twisted up for him. There must be understanding of the word of God from you and I. We must be able to handle the word of God, to be able to rightly depend upon the promises of God. Many try to use and misuse the word of God for their own circumstances, for their own reasons. A big decision in life, there's a fork in the road, and some will take the Bible and say, look what it says. Look what it says right here. Hey, in one part of the Bible it says Judas went and hung himself. In another part of the Bible it says go and do likewise. We've got to know the Word of God to rightly claim His promises in our everyday genuine Christian living. Remember that Satan can't cause us to sin. He can't cause us to lust, but to be tempted. And remember that temptation is not a sin, but think about what it leads to. And let us understand this morning that we can overcome temptation in our lives. It can be overcome by knowing and depending on the Word of God. It can detect false teaching that'll come your way. The truth has a sound to it. And when we know the truth, that there's a sound that just isn't right when it's coming from the wrong source in the wrong way to try to get us to do the wrong thing. Satan's always trying to cause false teaching in the house of God. He would love to get those in the house of God against one another on doctrine. Satan wants Christians to misuse and abuse the Word of God, but Jesus refused the show. He refused the motive. He detected it by the Word of God. But let's not only look how he was tempted to do something for self or for show. Let's look at the shortcut temptation, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil now tries to trick Jesus into taking a shortcut. The last song, the special music, was about the cross. Isn't it wonderful? Wasn't that trip, spiritually speaking, to the cross wonderful? That's where our sins were paid for. That's where the blood of Jesus was shed. But the devil is trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut and not go to the cross. There's a religion out there that says that Jesus was a good man, even a prophet of God, they might say. And God wouldn't allow his prophet to be crucified. So he was hindered from going to the cross. And he didn't have to be, he didn't have to go to the cross like that. He didn't go to the cross at all, a religion would say. What terrible news that is. There would be no hope for you and I. Our sins wouldn't be paid for. We would be paying for them ourselves. We would spend an eternity without God if that were the truth. I'm glad Jesus didn't compromise his entire ministry and mission on the temptation of a shortcut. The devil was tempting Jesus here to try to elevate to power over the world without going to the cross, without paying our fine for sin. The cross was the Father's way for him. But the devil's trying to show him a shortcut. In what we call the Great Commission in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, you notice something there? It was after the cross that Jesus says, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." That was after the cross. That was God's way. But the devil was trying to lure him into a temporary sovereignty by the wrong means. He was trying to get Jesus to give up heaven for the world. He's trying to keep our minds off of it. And he's trying to keep our minds on this world. He wants us to be so busy in this world with cares and concerns and entertainment and whatever that there's no time for him. There's no focus on God. That's what he's trying to do to every one of God's people. He can't do anything about our salvation, but he is trying to do what he can to get our minds off of God and the things of God. The devil's always wanted to be God, so he wants to be worshiped. And he would have loved to have deceived Jesus from going to the cross here so that the whole world would be in corruption. There would be no immortality. It would just be corruption. It would have been exactly what he wanted. No one would have had hope in this life if Jesus had fallen for the temptation and taken the shortcut. God's way is never to compromise with the devil. So let us think about those times where it's decision time. And we know what God's Word says. And God's Word is absolute on it. And then there's that stalling time and that brainstorming time. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's dangerous. It's never time to compromise on the things of God. We can conquer Him. We can conquer Satan. We can conquer temptation one at a time. God alone is to be worshiped, not the devil. It was absolute. No matter what temptation to pride and status and power was given, it was clean cut and dry. We're not to love the world, and we're hated by the world when we stand on the Word of God and when we trust the Word of the Lord and we live by it. Jesus meditated on truth. He prepared and he worshiped God alone. And he didn't fall for temporary sovereignty, but he embraced God's promises for the eternal sovereignty that the Father had for God the Son. He didn't switch his loyalty and he never forsook God. The delay that we can sometimes have, let us be careful with that. His promises are good as fulfilled in our lives. Look, we're always going to face temptation. But the promises of God are good as fulfilled in our lives, and He always makes a way. No matter how long it is before Jesus comes back to the clouds, It's going to be that whole time that we're going to be tempted, but there is a way to overcome temptation. All of God's promises are sure. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Jesus is teaching us about temptation. I wonder how many people think like the quote I said, I can overcome anything but temptation, someone says. There's victory. There's an overcoming over temptation. And someone needs to know about it this morning. Because Jesus is teaching us to know the Word of God and the power that the Word of God gives that we might overcome temptation. And you understand, Jesus did not use John 3:16 every time. He was precise with the Word of God for the exact temptation that came His way. That's good when we learn how to handle this sword in such a way that we have God's answer to every temptation that comes at us. Let us never compromise in our lives. Let us never compromise in the Lord's work in our lives. Let us never compromise with the devil. The first psalm in the first verse says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." All the time, Satan is tempting us to live for this world and to not live for God, to not give him our time, to take our focus off of him. He doesn't want us thinking about our future. He doesn't want us living for our future. God offers things that Satan can't offer. God offers citizenship in heaven. The child of God has citizenship in heaven. Satan doesn't want us looking at that. He doesn't want us thinking about that. God offers rewards in heaven. God offers eternity with Him. He doesn't want our minds on that. He doesn't want our minds on the security that we have for all eternity. We must not delay in this business. Temptation is not delaying. There's no intermission. It is continual in our lives. May we be prepared. May we be even better prepared. May we see our need for the continual Word of God in our lives. Let's close, but just a couple of things that we would do well to remember. And that is, even when we are overcoming and there's victory over temptation in our lives, it's still going to keep coming our way. So we've got to remember discouragement that's going to try to hit us and come our way, because temptation is relentless. It never ends. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. What a wonderful verse. You know what happens after that? He's coming right back. Kind of like that stray dog I took home one time. He was so nice and tender and meek and mild. Ended up, he was sick. And Shelley nursed him back to good health, and he became a monster. I would pick that dog up. He grabbed McKenna's hair and ripped it right off the swing set. I would pick that dog up, and not mean, trying to play with him. You couldn't hurt the dog. I threw him as far as I could, and I kid you not, he was coming back to me before he hit the ground. That dog was so strong. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And then he's coming right back. So it's continual that we must be prepared, that we must be strong. Hey, look, don't get discouraged. He's coming right back. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's going to be relentless, but there are constant victories we can have. So be careful of discouragement and something else, overconfidence. When we do have some victories and we overcome temptation and we don't give in, we're tempted to think it's ourselves after a while. Let us be careful and always know that we're always overmatched on our own by the devil, and it's always God. It's always the power of God. It's always His truth that we're going to be able to resist temptation. It's always because of Him. But a few always thoughts as we close. A little bit of repeating, but the Bible repeats itself, and we need to repeat these things to understand it. He's always coming back at us. But remember, He's always a conquered enemy. There's always an escape from temptation. Believe it or not, this message was meant to be encouraging to every single one of us, because there is victory over temptation. Look at the side that God is on. God is giving us victory over temptation when we obey Him, when we follow His Word, when we know His Word, when we don't fall into that dangerous delay and hem-haw and seesaw in the situation. Kind of like my friend Billy said one time. I don't say it this way, but he said, "I'm a fool for God, Kenneth. Whatever His Word says, I'm going to do it." Billy has victory over temptation. Not in perfection, but it does not dominate the child of God. It's our fault if it does. Because Jesus has put together a plan for us to have victory. There's no way to have any victory over temptation, lust, sin, without knowing Jesus, though. And if you're here this morning and you realize religion has never been able to do something for you, but you understand that there's a personal Lord and Savior, and when He went to the cross, can I say that you were on His mind individually? And He took your sin debt that we could never overcome ourselves. He did that for us in our place. And the Bible says if you'll place your trust in Jesus, He will save you from your sins. It's as easy as something that happens in a moment in your life. Not by the say-so of anyone else, but God drawing you, just as He did Zacchaeus. And it was on a day in his life that Jesus went to live in his house. Jesus went to live within him and saved him. It's just like the thief on the cross. He didn't go through any classes or any religion of any kind, but he believed on the Lord. He said, "Remember me in paradise," and the Lord Jesus saved him. He didn't have any works to give. He had failed at temptation all of his life. That's all we can do before we're saved, whether we see it or not. But faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Maybe somebody needs to lay their works aside. Maybe someone sees the dead-end road of trying to be a good person to obtain this salvation in heaven for eternity. Would you run to Jesus? Would you let Him save you from your sins this morning as we pray? Father God in heaven, we bow before you again. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We thank you for truth. We thank you for victory over temptation, though we know it's always coming our way, Lord. Help us to lift our heads up high, to know your word, to stand on your word, Lord, and to have the confidence that we can resist those things that come our way. Our hands are not tied. We have to neglect your power in order to give in to those things. May it not be so in our lives. Lord, I pray for victory for the struggling Christian today, if there be one in our midst, and also for the one who does not know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may they come to Jesus today and place their faith in Jesus, who went to the cross, died, was buried, and raised again. Save them from their sins. Let them know in their heart that they have a secure home in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise. What?